story in a nutshell of how Lot and Avram were initially living together. They were successful together. They amassed a fortune together. But then upon their return back from Eretz Mitzrayim, from the land of Mitzrayim, to the famine, so disputes and arguments ensued between the shepherds of both of them. The land wasn't big enough to hold the two of them. It wasn't successful staying together. And then Avram recommends that they make a separation. And they make a separation, and that's it. So what's going on over here? What's going on? So there's a Medrash, right? Medrash says, and really what comes out from this Medrash is really like a lot of contradictions, what seems to be contradictory messages about this whole story. So the Medrash says about when Avram said to Lot, you have to go to, you should leave, you know, go away, we should separate from each other. So the Medrash says that Hashem Amar El Avram, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kas Hoya Lavinu of Avram. There was anger to our forefather Abraham, Bishar Shapirish Lot Ben Achiv Mi'ima, when he separated from Avram. When Avram sent Lot away, Hashem wasn't happy with that. He was angry with him. Amra Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hashem said to Avram, Lakol Hu Medabek, to everybody else you attach yourself to. Because one of the things we know about Avram is the fact that he was Makarev people. He brought people under the shelter of the Shechina and taught people about Hashem, about monotheism. And Hashem chastises him and he says, to everybody else you attach yourself to, Ulalot Achiv Eina Medabek, but to Lot your brother, your nephew, you can't attach yourself to. Why are you pushing him away? Why are you rejecting him, pushing him away? You shouldn't be doing that. That's one opinion in the Medrash. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Nechemya says, Kas hoyulo lakodesh baruch hu, b'shar shahi mahalech lot im Avram Avinu. That Hashem was angry with Avram for going, for traveling with Lot. The exact opposite. He was angry with Avram for traveling alongside and keeping Lot alongside of him. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to him, Ani marti lo, I said to him, I said to Avram, Lezaracha Nesati Asarat Hazot, I'm going to give this whole land to him. Fumadbik as Lot ben Achiv kedei liyarsho, and now he's attaching Lot, his nephew, to then go ahead and inherit with him. This is a chutzpah, this is bad. I'm very angry with Avram for doing this, for attaching himself and associating himself with Lot. He's criticizing him. It says in Mishlei, Goresh Leitz v'yetzi modern, that the one who Goresh Leitz, which means drive away the scoffer, v'yetzi modern, by driving away the scoffer, arguments will cease. And that's an illusion. Goresh Leitz, says the Medrash, the Leitz, the scoffer, is Lot. Drive him away. Drive him away, v'yetzi modern, and by driving him away, strife is going to end. Referring to the fact that there was strife between the shepherds of Lot and the shepherds of Avram. So it was a good thing. It was a good thing. It was because Hashem was angry that Avram was associating himself with Lot. So now when he drives him away, so Hashem is very happy with him. He's driving him away. He's driving the scoffer away. And now the strife, the arguments which are going on between the two of them is going to come to an end. V'yishbois din v'kolam. And then there's a result of that. There's going to be a settlement. Everything's going to be settled. All the quarrels will be settled. And judgment and shame will cease. It was a good thing. Please let there be no strife. Point is that according to this perspective, it was all positive that he drove him away. And Hashem was not happy with the fact that they were associated with each other. But yet the previous Medrash, the previous opinion, in the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Hashem was angry for the fact that he drove him away. So which one is it? Was he happy they drove him away? Was he not happy they drove him away? That's one contradiction. The other contradiction, a whole bunch of contradictions, is what was the nature of Lot? What kind of personality was he? Was he righteous? Was he wicked? Really, I mean, the contradiction about whether Hashem was angry with him or happy with him really dovetails together with the nature of the personality of Lot. What kind of personality was he? Was he righteous or was he wicked? What was he? So many conflicting opinions about this. Not, I shouldn't say opinions, but different midrashim, different sources which point to diametrically opposed perspectives on the nature and the character and the righteousness of Lot. Osius de Rabbi Akiva, it's a medrash. Hashem said to Yaakov, this is the future, Hashem said to Yaakov when he was living with Lavan. So Hashem said to Yaakov, if Lot, referring to Lot, a complete tzaddik, Medrash says that Hashem says to Yaakov, if Lot was a complete tzaddik and learned Torah, was sent away, then surely you should separate from Esav the Rasha. So there the Medrash says that Lot was a tzaddik. If Lot is a tzaddik and Avram separated from him, then surely you, Yaakov, should separate from the wicked Esav. So that's one for Lot being a tzaddik. Number two, Rashi says in Yud Tes, Lot said, when I was in Sodom, Hashem saw my actions in contrast to the people of Sodom, and that I was a tzaddik and worthy of being saved. So Hashem saw me that I was saved in, I was saved, this is later on, later parasha, Lot recognized the fact that he was saved from Sodom in the terrible catastrophe which happened in Sodom. And Hashem described me as a tzaddik. So that's two for him being a tzaddik. Number three, that Hashem, that he also rebuked the people of Sodom. He had a reputation of rebuking and teaching the people of Sodom. And he also, I mean, we know he was machnas orchem, he welcomed guests. He had the same trait of welcoming guests like Avram did. And he was righteous in that respect. So several examples of the fact that Lot is a righteous individual. An explicit statement, explicit words. He's a tzaddik. That's the first one I said. If Lot, a complete tzaddik, and learned Torah, was sent away, then certainly Yaakov says stay away from wicked Russia. That's number one. That's on the side of being positive. On the side of being negative, Rashi says, as long as that Russia was with Avram, Hashem's word departed from him. Because in this passage which I read before, you don't see that Hashem spoke to Avram as long as Lot was associated with him. It was only when Lot separated from him, that's when the word of Hashem, the prophecy of Hashem came back to Avram. Indicate, and that's Rashi says. Rashi says, as long as they were in proximity with each other, in association with each other, the words of Hashem didn't come to Avram. Only when they separated did it come back. The Psikta Rabasi, another Medrash, says, see how much Lot, the Rasha, caused Hashem's word to be withheld from Avram, explicitly describing Lot as being a Rasha. Rashi says, 13:11, Lot moved away himself from the Kadmon Shalom, and he left separately when he chose to go to stone, because he chose the lush, green, and Gashmiyastika area of Sodom. It was the Rashi says, the Pasuk says, that he separated himself from the Kadmon Shalom. He separated himself from the creator of the world. Kadmon Shalom is the creator of the world. He separates himself from the creator of the world, also implying that he's a Rasha. Another statement, Lot said, when I was with Avram, I was a Rasha. And it goes on. So you've got these two perspectives. Is he a tzaddik? Is he a Rasha? What is he? I mean, and again, some of these midrashim, some of these sources are blatantly saying he's a tzaddik. He's a Rasha. He's a tzaddik. He's a Rasha. So how do you reconcile it all? What is it? What was he? What was the nature of Lot? The simple answer and the real answer and the truthful answer is that he was both. He was both a tzaddik and a Rasha. That is the answer. We don't have to kind of finagle too much in trying to figure this out. The answer is that Lot is described as both being a tzaddik and a Rasha. Now, how can you be a tzaddik and a Rasha at the same time? So in a person's life, you can have a day when you're very righteous and a day when you're wicked. It can fluctuate. People's lives always fluctuate this way. But to be fundamentally defined as a tzaddik and a Rasha simultaneously, it's a bit tricky to understand that concept. How does a person get fundamentally described as a tzaddik and a Rasha in the same breath? Which seems to be, that's how Lot is being described over here. So the answer really lies in a few passages of the Zohar. So the Zohar says, a few. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but in a few places the Zohar says that Lot was the personification of the Nachash, of the Yetzirah, right? He was the personification of the Yetzirah. Now, the Zohar and Kabbalah is deep. It's hard to really fathom the depth, the ideas properly. So we'll just understand it to the extent that we can. There's such an idea that Lot was the personification, the embodiment of the Nachash of the Yetzer Hara. If you look at these passages of the Zohar, I didn't understand, it goes on to talk about how all the different aspects of the soul corresponding to the different avos and the mate and the imahos is very, very fascinating. At least on a superficial level, it's very interesting. But Lot is described as the Nachash, as the Yetzer Hara. So one of the Sfarim, one of the more Chassidish Kabbalistic Sfarim says, the Moreinayim says, that the Yetzer Hara manifests itself in different ways. And again, I can't explain all of this, just part of this, that the Yetzer Hara is personified by three famous individuals in Bereishis. One is Esav, one is Lavan, and one is Lot. Each one of them had a particular dimension to them of the Yetzer Hara. What's important for us, for our purposes, is what is this unique nature of the Yetzer Hara personified by Lot? And the unique nature of the Yetzer Hara, of Lot as the Yetzer Hara, is the admixture, the complete admixture of spirituality and Gashmius at the same time. The Yetzer Hara manifests itself sometimes where in a person where we are this complete admixture of Ruchnius and Gashmius at the same time. Now, of course, we are a mixture of Ruchnius and Gashmius because we have a body and a soul. But that's just the structure of who we are. The admixture of being Ruchnius and Gashmius at the same time is not being clear about what I really want and not being completely invested in one of those two domains. When a person is completely invested in their Ruchnius, then everything serves their Ruchnius. When someone is completely invested in their Gashmius, then everything serves their Gashmius. But there are many people that they are split. They're a dual personality. They're split. They want their Ruchnius and they want the Gashmius. They want both at the same time. That's the concept of being a tzaddik and a rosh at the same time. That a person is ambivalent. A person is split. There's a dichotomy in the personality and in the nature and the whole avodas Hashem of the individual. What am I completely given over for? Am I given over only for Ruchnius that so that everything else serves the Ruchnius and even the physical, the physicality serves the Ruchnius, or is it the other way around? This is, in the Shema, v'ohavta Hashem l'kecha b'chol levavacha, right? To love Hashem with all of your heart, b'chol levavacha. And levavacha has the two letter vases in the word levavacha, with both of your hearts. So the Gemara says, with both yetzers, with both inclinations, with both the good inclination and the bad inclination. Now, obviously, what does it mean to serve Hashem with your bad inclination? If you have a bad inclination, you're not serving Hashem. It's contradictory. The point is, the bad inclination emanates from the Gashmius. It emanates from the earth. It emanates from the body. It emanates from the lowest parts of ourselves, which leads us to all of the sins and all of the bad drives that we have. But serving Hashem, loving Hashem with all of your heart, including the Yetzer Hara, means using all of the physicality for the service and the love of Hashem as well. The Vilna Gaon says that there are three types of people. There is somebody who really does that, who channels all of their physical drives for the service and the purpose of their neshama, and they eat in order to make a bracha, right? They eat, they sleep in order to gain strength, in order to be able to serve Hashem, and they do everything in the physical. And it doesn't mean to say, emphasize this again, it doesn't mean to say that you can't appreciate the taste and the enjoyment of the experience. You make a bracha in it. It's a reality. When a person eats a nice sandwich or something which is very tasty, it tastes good. The taste buds react to it and it feels good. There's a big difference though between appreciating the good taste and eating it for the good taste. There's a big difference. I'm eating it in order to serve Hashem. I'm eating it in order to have strength. But I'm enjoying the taste. The taste is good. I can't deny it. It's there. I feel it. Make a bracha in it. Turn that taste into something which is holy. That's a tzaddik. A tzaddik is taking all of the physical pleasures, all the physical assets of the physical world, and channeling it all towards the neshama. That's b'chol levavacha. The rush is the flip, is the exact opposite. Everything is serving the physical. There is no spiritual. Everything is all about the physical and the selfish drives and the gashmias, etc. But he calls it the Beinoni, the average person, is somebody who wants both. He wants the best of both worlds. He wants to go to shul. He wants to learn Torah. He wants to experience all of the beautiful experiences of spirituality and ruchnius and all the things that it offers. But I don't want to give up on all the other physical things which I have. I want to have my freedom. I want to have my physical enjoyment. I'm not willing to give up those things. I want both. I want everything. So it's very laudable and very commendable that the person is really into their spirituality and they want to be connected spiritually, but there's something missing, because if they also want at the same time, simultaneous with that, I want all my freedom and I want all of my gashmias, I want all my physical experiences as well, then, you know, that's called a tzaddik and a rosha simultaneously. That's the personality of Lot. That's how the Mu'ur Einayim explains what the Zohar means when it says that Lot was the personification of the Yetzirah. He's that type of Yetzirah that wants the best of both worlds, wants both experiences simultaneously with each other. And that is the explanation of why there are different midrashim. Some say that he's a Rasha, some say he's a Tzaddik, because he had both. He was attached to Avram, he wanted the Ruchnius, he wanted to be part of the monotheistic belief of what Avraham Avinu was promoting, but he also wanted Stom, he wanted to have the creature comforts alongside of that as well. So is that good? Is that bad? Well, it's not ideal. I mean, it's bad and good at the same time. You know, it's interesting. It's described as an eruv, an eruv of good and bad, of tov and ra at the same time. It's an eruv. The word eruv, it's interesting. The word eruv, or rave, what we were discussing last week, we're discussing the raven. And the raven is the same letters of or. I didn't say this last week, that the raven is an orave. And those letters, ayin, resh, beis, is the same letters as an eruv, as a mixture, an admixture of good and bad. Because we said this last week, that even though Noah wanted to get rid of the raven, he wanted to banish the raven once and for all and completely eliminate it from life to destroy, because that was the last species, that was the only species he wanted to eliminate. So Hashem was angry. Hashem said, no, don't get rid of the raven, because there's a time and a place for the raven as well. Now, if you say that the raven is the letters ayin, resh, vayis, which is eruv, mixture, and it refers to the mixture of good and evil, it means that there was good in the raven as well. And if we saw from that medrash last week, there was good in the raven because he saved Elio in the future. And then Simon at the end last week pointed out a medrash. I looked it up afterwards. The medrash says an incredible thing. And this is before the story of Noah, that when Adam and Chava, after Cain killed Hevel, so Adam and Chava didn't know what to do with the body of Hevel. They didn't know what to do with it. So the Medrash says that a raven came along, and the raven's fellow raven died, and the raven buried its fellow raven. And then Adam took example from that raven and then buried Hevel as well. So the raven is painted has a positive dimension to it. So really, you know, again, it has two dimensions. It has the blackness, but it has the goodness as well. That's what Eruv is. That's what mixture is. The mixture of good and evil, both are there. This was the personality of Lot. And this is why he's called a tzaddik in one place. He's called a rasha in a different place. So why, though, are the two different midrashim, the machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Nehemiah, why does Rabbi Yehuda say that Hashem was angry with Avram for banishing him? And Rabbi Nehemiah says that he was happy, he was angry for keeping him associated with him. The answer again is both, because really, ideally, Rav Dessler, Mechta Malio explains this, he says that really, ideally, Avram should have risen to the Madrega to be able to keep Lot with him in order to elevate him, to be able to pick him up from that ambivalent, split level, dual personality level, to become pure, completely motivated for Ruchnius, like Avram himself was. Had he risen to that level, I read the words. He says, "But he was kind of criticized on this separation because and the Midas Adin. There's another Medrash I didn't read it before. Medrash says that the angels, the heavenly tribunal, wanted to have Avram killed until Hashem said, 'No, bring him out from underneath the mazel of death and bring him under the mazel of life. Hashem defended Avram, because the fact is that had Avram risen in his madrega to a point that he would be unaffected by Lot, he should have done that. He would have had the success of being able to bring Lot to his side completely. But if he doesn't do that, then Lot has to be banished. If Lot cannot rise to the level, if Avram could not influence Lot and inspire him to become like himself, to forego all of the physical creature comforts that he wants, to channel everything towards the Ruchnius, then if he can't do that, then the influence that Lot is going to have on Avram is going to be negative and he has to get rid of him. So on the one hand, he was angry for banishing him because he wished, so to speak, that he would have influenced him to kind of to lift Lot up higher. On the other hand, he was angry for keeping him because as long as he's now not rising high, he's not changing, he's not being inspired, better he shouldn't be there and he should be banished. And he was happy that he got rid of him. But this is the dynamic which is going on, which between the two of them. But the reason why Avraham Avinu obviously is charged with this mission, and this is the charge we have as well. We have to emulate this too. Avraham is told, Lech Lecha, Lech Lecha. What does Lech Lecha mean? Go back, go to yourself, discover yourself, come back to your neshama. But the pasuk also says, Lech Lecha la'anasecha l'tuvasecha, Hashem said to Avraham, go for your benefit, go to Eretz Canaan for your benefit and for your goodness as well. Go there, it's going to be good for you. Now obviously that can't be physical, gashmistic goodness. What the Nesiva Shalom says is it's referring to the spiritual, the oneg, the spiritual goodness being connected to Hashem. And the only way that you're going to be able to have that true ruchnius, that true delight and pleasure of being connected to me and having that relationship is only by lech, by going, by leaving. Mi'atzecha, from your earthliness, from the ground, from the stuff of the ground, from the earthliness. Mulodatecha, from the birthplace, from all of the social and the social, the family, all of the social experience, the social securities of our birthplace and where we come from, when we're willing to sacrifice that, and I say that with hesitancy, you know, well, not hesitancy, but awareness of the challenge of that, and each on their own level and each in their own situation. But part of the Lech Lecha journey of a person, of Lech Lecha, of going back to yourself and discovering that pure, unadulterated love and connection of ruchnius, of being connected to Hashem, requires perforce some form, some sort of extrication from all of the other things of life, the other things which draw us to those pleasures. We've got to get away from the lot that we have. We have to get away from the lot inside of us, which is split between two different polarities. And only by separating from the gashmius, and only by separating from the social and all of the different experiences of our childhood and our upbringing and our society and our environment, that's the only path we're going to be able to engage in order to be able to experience that true connection of Lech Lecha to ourselves. And that's why Avraham Avinu has told us. That's why it's so important that he does, and he is praised ultimately for separating from Lot, because he needs to be the trailblazer and be the example for his descendants forevermore after that, of what it means to really experience spirituality and being connected to Hashem. We've got to separate ourselves. We've got to separate from our backgrounds and our situations in the ways which are going to augment our process of growth. But it means to separate from the loads inside of us. And it means separating the load from inside of ourselves and getting rid of this ambivalence and getting rid of them. I'm in two different worlds at the same time. I'm living two different desires. I'm living two different experiences. The Chovas HaLevavos says that just like water and fire can't coexist together, you can't have the pleasure of the physical world and the pleasure of the next world coexisting together at the same time. Again, a person can appreciate the pleasure of the physical world. That's different from being into the pleasure, by being committed, by being devoted to whatever I have in front of me right now. You can't have both at the same time. And it's only after this whole separation, when Avram really purifies, refines himself, and separates out this Lot split personality, dual personality of Lot, and he's now purely by himself, that's when Hashem says to him, now I'm going to give to you Eretz Yisrael. That's when the promise of Eretz Yisrael is given to him. And it's not Eretz Yisrael, it's Eretz Canaan. Eretz Canaan. What does Canaan mean? Kanan is through the word hachna, humility. Humility, because synonymous with all of this and synergetic with all of this is the complete reduction of the ego, the reduction of self only for the service of Hashem. And Canaan, ironically, it's interesting that Eretz Canaan is the land of the Canaanites and all the idolatry and all the corruption, all the immorality of Canaan. But it's called Eretz Canaan because the potential in Eretz Canaan, that is the place. That is the place of the planet which is most propitious for developing and experiencing complete submission, complete hachna, hachna, submission to the Almighty. Eretz Canaan, Canaan, the same word as hachna, submission and humility before Hashem. And he says to him, he said, I promise you, your descendants will be like the afar ha'aretz, like the dirt of the ground. There are many similes of the Jewish people in terms of different things. We're described like the sand on the sea. We're described like the stars in the sky. Why over here does Hashem say to him, you're going to be like the afar, like the dirt of the ground? The answer is, it's all the same thing. Because dirt symbolizes complete and utter submission, more so than sand, and certainly more so than stars. Afar, dirt, earth, the piece of dirt on the ground is representative of the complete and utter submission of the hachna, which was only achieved, it wasn't achieved at the beginning of the parasha. It's only achieved when the lot is extricated, when the split personality of lot, not deciding where he's at, that's taken out of Avram, distance from Avram. So all that's left is just the pure spiritual ruchniyistika driven Avram, and that's what's left behind. And that's the story. That's the story of Lot and Avram. And it's a lesson. It's a message to us. It's a message. You know, is there a lot in my life? Is there a lot in my life? Well, I have a lot, but is there a lot? Is there a lot? Is there a lot in my life? Is there a lot in my life? You know, do I also live that dual identity, loving ruchnius, but loving my freedom and my gashmius at the same time? Am I succeeding in training that side of me to rise higher and abandon its constrictions, or have I become ruled by it? Have I become ruled by that dual personality? Where am I on my journey of Lech Lecha? Have I humbled myself to God's will?